Talking with Scott Gebbard, Extension Educator, Shelby County, here in Indiana. Finished a presentation to a precision agriculture meeting being held here in Indianapolis by the Indiana Soybean Alliance and John Deere. And the topic of your presentation, what you talked about, were some of the benefits. And when guys are thinking about this technology, that's the big question. What is it going to do for me? And you ran through a number of different benefits, more than just increasing yield, but there are more and more benefits to this technology. Tell me a little bit about some of the things that you laid out that producers need to think about as they're making the decision to invest in this technology.
That's exactly right, Gary. Really, on some of this, when they make their decisions as far as what they're in, when they're making this investment plunge, essentially, is that when they're going to apply this, that they can use it for lots of things. One, for instance, would be their landlord relations. But of course, the biggest thing as far as all of this comes down is it gives them a lot of information. And then the question is, can they then distill that down and apply it in something useful for them? With the cost of inputs and other things, this type of technology, especially in the future, is really going to start penciling out as the cost of the inputs increase, and as, because of the overall general use, some of the costs of the different add-ons and the various pieces decline over time. And so that's really where we're at. But not only were we was I discussing the in the field, but also the other benefits that we can use, the portability of a lot of this. Several years ago, I gave a talk where talking with some other agronomists that are out there, they've, as far as private consultants, they've invested in all this money as far as the cost of the infrastructure to put this up. Well, let's go ahead and go to the outdoor lab at the schools and help map the trees and the wildlife, so that way the schools can have nice overlaid maps of exactly where things are and have them use that for other uses, or actually get some more use out of their outdoor lab. Not only that, but take it to the neighbor that has the walking trails, and then also tag, well, you know what, if you're going to see a black walnut tree, well, it's right here. And so there's a lot of things we can do with this, and the better we get at it and the more we try different things, the more uses we'll find for it. But I think as the cost of inputs increase over time, we won't be paying for them to apply a chemical to all 500 acres.
Well, we've got an interesting situation because the price of the technology is coming down at the very time that the cost of the inputs is going up. So we're sort of walking into that perfect storm where this is going to start penciling out for more and more producers.
That's right. For a long period of time, it's been more of a holistic type of how it penciled out. I compared it in the talk to management intensive grazing, to where the guy was out there, he saw his cows every other day or every third day, and so if they got lame or something happened to him, he was right there. Likewise, if you're getting all this information and you're paying for the investment costs, for the cost of the technology, and you sit down and you go over the maps and you sit down with your agronomist and go over with what he's provided you and start putting all that together, when you find the problems, then that's how it starts penciling out for you. And like you mentioned already too, the cost of the inputs, to where, well, I don't need to apply 200 pounds of potash to all 300 acres, or I don't need to spray all 400 acres for this particular pest. I need to go right specifically to this area, and I'm going to tell them exactly where to apply it and how much. And that's where you start getting the economies of scale, as far as the cost of the stuff lowers over time and the price of the other costs rise as far as the inputs.
One other point you brought out, which I thought was interesting, is that more and more producers begin to get impacted by regulations, particularly on fertilizer, manure management, nutrient management. There are more regulations coming down on the state level, on the federal level, and this technology will allow folks to begin to prepare for that and to begin to manage their operations when we have the reality of these new rules and these new regulations regarding our nutrient management.
That's right, especially when you start doing the global position systems and tying that in with your soil fertility and mapping that out, and so that way you're not over-applying phosphorus in certain areas. In the past, it's been kind of a do the right thing, but now it's really coming down to economics as well, to where it does not pencil out to go ahead and apply 250 pounds of nitrogen over the entire farm and just hope that the yield works out. We're getting to a point now is where we need to place it where it'll work. Where it doesn't work, we're not going to put down as much. And not only that, but when we start regulating the other inputs like phosphorus, that we've already had the maps available and the background information, so that way we're not over applying in some areas and potentially not only harming our own environment but also getting in trouble with regulators if and when that comes about.
You mentioned an interesting concept, and that is don't be afraid to tinker with this technology. And farmers have done that. Every time new technology comes out, whether it's hybrids, whether it's equipment, there's always somebody in the shop with a welder trying to figure out how to tinker. This is a little different type of technology, but again, farmers are finding ways to use this and to manipulate it to fit in their operation.
Oh, that's exactly right. I was talking to the guys from John Deere before I went up there, and I was talking about the interoperability to where you have to be able to get the information from your combine and from your planter, and it's got to be able to mash up with what your agronomist provided you and things like that. And if it's not, then you have to make some very hard decisions as far as which direction you're going to go. And they were laughing. Well, you know, we come out to the guys to the dealer shop, and they've already put it in three different competitors' product as well to make it work. And oh yeah, we've crossed this, that, and it's all cables and plugins, and it's really neat that we're going that away. It does hold down costs. It does bring down costs, but it also really instills a higher level of competition too, to where if it doesn't work, then you're suddenly on the back burner and someone else will race ahead of you. And so that's really in the last 5 years some of the neater advancements that we've seen.
Scott Gibbard, extension educator, Shelby County. One of the presentations here in Indianapolis. I'm Gary Truitt.